Welcome to the Bruce Poinsett Show. This is the world's most dangerous infomercial. I'm your host, Bruce Poinsett, and along with my producer, Ada, we bring you this bi-weekly news, commentary, and interview experience from the Numbers FM studio at the Portland Art Museum. You can catch the full show on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on 96.7 The Numbers FM, and you can catch clips on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett, as well as get exclusive bonus content on patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. Again, you can get exclusive bonus content by becoming a member at patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett. Usually we record these live, but I'm out of studio for this month. That said, we've got a special episode for you. This time we are doing a piece on one of the really foundational spaces in Portland for some decades now, is the Lloyd Center Mall. For those who don't know, I did a collaboration with Fly Social and Mercatus PDX. Earlier this year, we did a series on the future of Lloyd Center, specifically through the eyes of current and former tenants of color. And you can find the interview package on the Mercatus PDX YouTube or IG. But in addition to that, I also released full interviews on my site with, again, current and former tenants of color, specifically Sharon Gary Smith, president of the Portland NAACP, Troy Douglas, owner of Cultural Blends, and Bobby Stewart, who was the former owner of the Palette store. So we talked about, one, their experience as tenants in Lloyd Center, what things worked, what things didn't, you know, what they would hope to see, because in November it was announced, this past November it was announced that Urban Renaissance Group was taking ownership of the mall. And one of their first statements was to tell people, give us 2 years and then tell us what you think of what we've done, which it's not exactly the height of transparency there, but also it is a matter, especially when we talk about business owners of color and the opportunities that could come from Lloyd Center. Again, it's a big space, has a lot of tradition. A lot of people have an attachment to that mall. A lot of people have obviously like an attachment to the area. It's, you know, what happens going forward could be huge. One of the stories we've covered in our news segments is how stores are more local stores like Floating World Comics have started making a way in Lloyd Center, which is actually, interesting enough, something that kind of came up in these interviews with tenants of color as far as being more supportive of small businesses. But of course, one of the things we have to like look out for is, even if that vision of being supportive of small businesses happens, making sure it's not just white small businesses, white food vendors. So again, we'll see, but also it's important to note that this is the last episode before the November 8th midterm elections. So when we talk about things that are on the ballot, maybe not explicitly, but definitely come out in who you vote for, development, business is a big part of that. Voting for people who have a vision that actually prioritizes and gives space to business owners of color, that make sure that we're not erased in these equations and in these decisions that, again, could affect people for generations. So Lloyd Center is an interesting case study, and we hope you enjoy, but also learn a lot and get some insights from these different interviews. So again, I spoke with Sharon Gary Smith, president of the Portland NAACP, which you'll be hearing next. And then later on this episode, you'll be hearing from Troy Douglas, owner of Cultural Blends, and Bobby Stewart, former owner of the Palette store. We hope you enjoy. This is Sharon Gary Smith, president of the Portland NAACP. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. I told you I'm a little bit cold. It's bright and chilly outside, but I anticipate a warm interview and I'm glad to be here with you.
Awesome. And I'm glad to have you. So yeah, as we kind of talked about offline,
know, this is a discussion about Lloyd Center, both, you know, the past, your experience in it, as well as the present. But one thing I like to ask the interviewers just to start off is, you know, what does Lloyd Center mean to you?
I'm the eldest of the four little Gary girls who are all grown and older now. And when Lloyd Center opened, we lived in Southeast Portland, pushed out of the lower Albina area by the city of Portland. So my parents bought where they said they won't come and bother us. And the first time that we were able to get on the bus and all, and then walk to Lloyd Center was so exciting, almost ceremonial. You know, I'm holding the hands of my sisters and there are all these stores and there's, you know, the ice rink and we were skaters. So the ice rink, there was the Carmel Court. I mean, there was so much energy. There was so much excitement for us being in Southeast now. We met our friends there. So all the young, you know, young folks would be hanging out safely, kind of engaged in all of these activities. There was this bustling food court. So that was your weekend thing. That was the destination. It was the journey to get there. It was the connection. And it was in our community. There were lots of people of color, lots of Black folks all around Lloyd Center area. So it was meeting ground. It was cultural space. It certainly was a cool place to go on the weekend. Movie theater, arcade. I didn't even remember it. It was the gathering spot. It was a place to see and be seen, to shop, to play. It really mattered. A lot of my growing up and crossing that bridge over the ice rink to Meyer and Frank and all of those things that I remember. And there's a loss of connection and community, and it was large enough to hold so many of us.
And that, how long has the NAACP been a tenant?
The tenancy started as, I think, when Lloyd Center's previous manager, who I knew and met and who has moved to managing a mall in Texas, they, I think, wanted to kind of, at that place where tenants were leaving, when Nordstrom's left, which was a major blow, they were probably looking to kind of upgrade the image and create presence. And so it was a negotiated relationship with former president Joanne Hardesty, who's now our city commissioner, one of our city commissioners. And so it's been about 5 years. We came into it. The last president, Mondanay, was there. And so it's been this, we serve 2-year terms. You can always run again. So we're entering probably around the sixth year of tenancy there. And our office with the beautiful montage of NAACP history above the door was really, people said we could see it from across on the other side. It was a real place of kind of drew people to find out about us. Now everything around us is vacant. Everything except for a foot massage, little small shop next door. The Marshalls was next door to us. Ulta Beauty. All of that is vacated on both sides. And so it's very stark statement of change.
Right, right. What has changed since NAACP started taking up residence in Lloyd Center? And you talk about kind of like just the businesses that are gone around you. But is there anything else that you could talk about as far as with the mall, as far as just like how things have changed over the last 5-6 years?
Well, you know, the foot traffic. I mean, an example is this last holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, and all that, because being a tenant and watching the world go by, if you will, outside your glass windows, it's all glass front. There's so little foot traffic, but they held on. And, you know, it's several levels. Two levels are shops, you know, enterprise, if you will, tenants. The top level is mainly more offices. We could have been located there, you know, dentistry, the management offices, that kind of business setting. So you have two floors that now are so empty that there's no generation of regular foot traffic. People are not, they're walkers, people who are walking the mall because now they're unobstructed. There's nothing to really distract you much. So it's quiet and it's deserted. I know that might challenge what the mall management would say, but that's a fact whenever I'm there. there's a loss of when there are people on each side of you, you go in and out of space. You learn your neighbors, other tenants. They've even referred people to us. Sometimes people are asking about, and we find out someone says, we asked about, we weren't sure where you were. And they told us, just keep going down there. They're down there in the corner where Marshalls used to be the identifier. So there's a loss of neighborliness because there aren't very many neighbors. I think it was ideal suited commerce and then business kind of operations, dentists, tax. There was a way that you had community, and that's been lost. And it really changes the way people have to purposely come to see us, as opposed to wandering around doing other activities, shopping, groceries across the street. That's been lost. I like the space, though. There was a purposefulness, I'm sure, in going there beyond giving them good public relations. And that's been lost as well.
And speaking of community, like how's the NAACP able to, I guess, build community in that space? Like where, I was curious, like where was the office located prior to the Lloyd Center?
You know, I'm trying to remember. At the time they went into the office, they were meeting at the, I think it's called the Oregon chapter, the American Red Cross, right there on Vancouver, across Vancouver Avenue, First Baptist Church. When Joanne was elected, that's where for a year and a half or more, I used to attend the monthly membership meeting in a conference space that was allowed, was provided at the American Red Cross. There was no defined location that belonged to us, an office. And I think the seeking of that was to resolve that situation, to have permanence, to have a place that people could come to that they knew belonged to the branch. And so that was a strategic, smart move. There were meetings held even all the way out at what used to be Concordia. And so this kind of finding space, which is good if you want to move around in community, but there was no sense of permanence, even though we're 104 years old this year.
And do you feel like by moving it to Lloyd Center that like it was successful in kind of making it, I guess, for lack of better terms, more accessible?
Accessible and identifiable. You weren't going into somebody's space and is the NAACP meeting here today? You know, that kind of questioning. We establish, almost put our flag in the ground, if you will, and we establish, and then the presence of the office. It's very attractive to see that front of our office and know that you're there. So those kinds of things really made a difference. Lloyd Center was really perfect. The access to parking, substantial parking right outside the door, which creates security. I think as a woman and a Black woman and an elder now, about what it takes to get from where you're dropped off or where you park into a building and at night, that there's mall security, that the hours that the mall is open, you can be open. There are a lot of really good amenities, if you will, and benefits. Public transportation is regular, and there's several routes and the MAX that are very close to the mall. It really was a perfect setting. That's why it was perfect when it was our community.
Looking forward, what are some changes you would like to see to help revitalize the mall?
You know, when the community was pushed out and displaced and changed, then when the Lloyd sisters, you know, they held that land for a long time until they could get maximum development dollars, I'm sure. When all of this housing that's there now, all of these large complexes, very few of them are occupied by diverse populations, they're not regular visitors I've watched to the mall. Because there's not a lot that's there now. Nordstrom's, Marshall's, you know, Sears, Penney's, whatever we think of those places, Macy's, that all of that is lost now, except for Macy's probably hanging on. So I'd like to see multiple use. Given the size of that space, I would like to see tenants like us, which is community building, it's advocacy, it's, you know, work outside the doors, but meeting and bringing people together inside. I would like to see certainly some amenities and some some significant restorative and rehabilitative work. The mall is tired. We know that the last major work on it was the kind of facelifting the cover, but the mall itself, the offices and all, given the fact that there was that major transformer fire that shut down the mall for 3 weeks in the holiday season, I would like to think that they will actually retrofit it. And I know there have been plans and ideas over the years, everything from, you know, a major jazz venue. They've tried to think of things to attract people back. I'd like to see a mix. I'd like to see a mix that would cause more diverse community members to be able to be comfortable, to feel that they're welcomed into this space. I would like to see a way for if they could be learning centers. There's so much vacant space that I'd like to see almost like library settings in the mall for reading and for, you know, after school classes. I would like to see it live again, where people are coming and going with purpose. We are talking about doing educational sessions and doing things with young people where they get to practice their leadership. And we have been granted by the mall, the management before the buyout. So we don't know, we're still negotiating. If we stay, which is a question also, Bruce, if we stay there, then we should be stakeholders in the decisions about the transformation, because we do have a history and a voice and a representation. We represent a lot of Black community and other community members. And so not to come to us with the plans are set, which is familiar, but we don't need to be inputters anymore. I tell people, I believe in being an influencer, that we can participate in the design, the creation of something new. I'd like mixed use. I think it would benefit them because people are going to Bridgeport. They're going to Clackamas Town Center. There's a reason when you look at how those were constructed. Lloyd Center is not a destination for shopping that it once was, and they didn't have the competition. So I'd like to see the housing that really is more representative of the community.
What questions do you have for the new management group? I know you talked earlier about, you know, like I have a relationship before, but, you know, for the purposes of this interview.
Well, the new management group has talked about give them an opportunity about 2 years to actually, I'm guessing, assess and then develop plans that are representative of the input. We haven't been asked, and they haven't been owners forever, but they've been in a relationship, you know, negotiations to end up buying something go on for a long period of time. They've not asked, and we've got ideas and thinking, as we told the former management about the mall, that that's what we do. We solicit, we gather input, we represent voices that are more varied than typically are able to participate in the decisions. This mall is in the community that was our community. And so I would want them to ask us, I would want them to consider beyond typical, because this mall is right now a white elephant. And so I think that any ideas for creative usage should be thought about. There's a way to have mixed use in housing. There's a way to have learning pods or centers there. You can bring back the movie theater since we've lost it across the street. You have to go downtown to get to the movies, and downtown is struggling now. So how do you recapture the kind of destination space that people in the community surrounding it would be able to access and would be excited about? Not all of our ideas, I'm not saying you have to, but when you talk about trying to lock people into long-term lease, we've been in a 6-month extending it because we didn't know what was going to go on. I negotiated on behalf of the branch to reduce the rent significantly, because what are we paying for? And I think before they ask for long-term relationship, we have to, you know what they tell you, show me what you got. and what you're thinking of, and let me participate and feel a sense of ownership in that. That's a different kind of relationship, not just landlord and tenant. And I think it would be helpful to them, and certainly helpful for those of us who might choose to remain.
Lastly, is there, you know, anything else you'd like to share, be it about Lloyd Center or things directly, I guess, you know, anything, other messages directly for the new management?
Well, you know, all around Lloyd Center, it's no coincidence that everything from the Applebee's, I knew something was up when that Applebee's that was crowded all the time on the corner, you know, that's the Halsey is how you enter where we are. When it disappeared, you know, then the Fagans, you know, beauty school, all of these changes were foreboding and telling me that something was happening in that area. And I don't know when or how or why, because I don't know what the management was thinking, but the clues have been there for the last 4 or 5 years. And how do you get ahead of? Or is Lloyd Center still a relevant destination when you have these thriving larger stores that are all under a particular mall that are providing people what, you know, you got to give the people what the people want, how to listen to what the people want and discern if that's something you can deliver. That's what I would ask them based upon the status of this mall and this area that is in transformation. How many more apartment complexes can you put up without things that could be offered in this large space? Or do you shut it down entirely, tear it down, and another high rise or something or a series of them goes in its place? I think that it could be a place that is lively, that attracts people, families, young people, into that center of a space that will soon be nothing but apartment buildings, kind of dreary, kind of boring. I don't think that that's community.
Yeah. Ms. Sharon Gary Smith, thank you again for taking the time this afternoon.
The Bruce Points That Show will be back after this quick commercial break. The Bruce Points That Show is made possible by the support of members at patreon.com/brucepointset. Patreon is a service that allows you to directly support creators like myself through monthly or annual memberships. Become a member for as little as $3 a month and get access to exclusive bonus clips and live discussions. Check out this clip from the page.
Are you defending the prequels? Where does your defense end, Bruce?
So, you know what? Maybe this might surprise you, but yeah, the whole meal deal. I will defend the prequels, kind of. Again, I also had a disclaimer at the beginning that I would not put money on me if I were betting on this as a viewer, but will I defend the prequels? Yes.
If you enjoy this content and believe in the community I'm trying to build, please support by becoming a member at patreon.com/brucepointset.
So I'm here with Oregon Women's Business Center and Education Manager with Mercy Corps, Bobby Stewart. Bobby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Bruce. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for talking with me. We're, you know, exploring both the past and the future of Lloyd Center Mall. And just to, you know, get our dates together, when was Mercy Corps a tenant in Lloyd Center?
Mercy Corps wasn't a tenant in Lloyd Center. I had a personal business, a retail store in Lloyd Center.
Okay, yeah. Well, what was that business? I'm sorry for the confusion.
That's okay. Part of 2018 and 2019, I was at the Lloyd Center Mall. And it was like around the holidays. We started a little bit earlier that year, and then went through the holiday season at the Lloyd Center. And it was Palette at Lloyd was the name of the retail store. And it was a retail store of BIPOC makers. So every business in there was a person of color. So the products were just all by people of color.
Yeah, okay. I remember going by that. I got a jersey, unfortunately, pandemic hit me and I grew out of it very quickly. But what does, just in general, what does Lloyd Center mean to you?
Well, like for me, I have really early memories of the Lloyd Center because my grandmother had a house a mile from the mall. And that's the house I'm in right now. And we would walk to the mall when I was a little kid, and she would go buy a dress or, you know, things like that. And so I had some really great memories of when it was an outdoor mall before it was closed in, and just the beautiful walk down there. And it was really exciting to actually have a business inside the Lloyd Center as an adult, you know, I had great memories from being a kid.
Yeah. And can you just talk a little bit more about that experience as a tenant?
The opportunity to open the store was just huge. And I came in when a lot of local stores came in, because first I did the pop-up for my People's Market. That's what started. And it was literally like we had just a few months to get the store together. And if it wasn't for the vendors coming together and helping with that store, setting it up and, you know, bringing their products in, it wouldn't have happened. But I had a volunteer team of 5 people that pitched in with marketing, helping run the store, helping with displays, you name it, they did everything. And then once that store closed after the pop-up, you know, a lot of the stores left the mall. So the mall started emptying out again. And because we were so far at one end, I was asked if I wanted to stay, and I'm like, I have to bring in my own brand because I don't own my People's Market as a brand. I own Palette as a brand, and I wanted a better, more central location. So I ended up moving down the mall and opening my own store at the Lloyd Center. And I would say at first it was all right. Through the holiday season, it was okay. But, you know, the mall got, it was a time where once the stores left, the mall got really, really slow because most of the traction was gone. And it was tough to survive after that. I had a couple employees that worked in my store, actually 3 employees. Vendors would come by all the time. We would, you know, do tastings, all kinds of things. The displays were absolutely beautiful. The products were amazing. There just wasn't enough foot traffic to actually, you know, have a really good lucrative business. And people would come from sometimes other states just to find product made by certain vendors. So it was a really good concept, I would say.
You know, one of the pieces of feedback I've kind of heard from a lot of people is, you know, especially how that like community aspect is so important. Can you just talk a little bit more about that as far as community built around Palette while it was there?
Well, the community, like most of the vendors actually knew each other, because they've worked the My People's Market together. People, when they came in, they would hang out and we would, you know, enjoy their time. People would bring their kids in to restock. That was probably like one of my favorite parts, was just seeing vendors and customers would be in the store. And I'm like, oh, would you like to meet the maker? They just happened to be here. They would think it's just amazing. And then we would do gift giveaways, you know, do like a little trivia thing. And we made sure that when people came in, their customer service experience was just as wonderful as possible, because they're supporting, you know, local businesses. And a lot of people overlook that fact. They don't, you know, because products are going to be a little bit more expensive, but the quality was just so much better. So you had a community of people making really great quality products, or doing resale of some really amazing things that you can't normally find. I tried to make sure there wasn't a lot of competition in the store. And it was really important that people price their products so they can sell, that their packaging looked great, their display looked great. I really try to make it a place where people can be educated. We would talk to them about what the comments that their customers would leave for them, especially if it was something great. People would often come in and tell us how great the products were. And I'm like, great, the owner would love to know that. You know, the maker would really love to know that. And if I had a question or someone had a question, sometimes I can just text the person and get the answer for the customer. And they just thought that was phenomenal. The community was just I think it was, I don't know, it probably was one of my favorite things about the store. And that's why I try to kept it open as long as I possibly could, because that was the one piece that was more important than anything else, was making sure that people of color had a place to sell their goods and that people knew the goods were from people of color. So, and that's not something that's, you know, that you can walk into like New Seasons or Whole Foods and actually know what that maker looks like, or there's information about that maker and that you're supporting, you know you're supporting a local a lot of times, but you just don't know. You might actually know that person, or someone knows that person that you're supporting.
Based on both your experience as a tenant, but then also just as someone who has, you know, long time ties to just, you know, good memories just going to Lloyd Center, what changes would you like to see in terms of revitalizing the mall?
Well, I think the track they were on, a few years ago was going to be a really good one by bringing the movie theater inside and having an entertainment place inside, you know, like someplace to bowl or play games, or maybe a sports bar, food carts. I mean, like I thought that billet was going to be phenomenal, because you can bring a lot of people and a lot of variety in. And I think that's what the mall really needs. It needs multiple types of entertainment for individuals to want to come to the mall, you know, because ice skating rink has been there forever, but what else can people do other than just walk around? And, you know, there's a few video games here and there, but, you know, when you look around the city, there are the entertainment is huge for people, because we're tired of being stuck at home. We want to get out and go do something. But the mall, it's old. Like even my unit, we had to really clean when I moved into the new unit. I had to ask for floor cleaning. That wasn't part of the deal, but I had to insist on it because it was just not something I could afford to do, and I didn't feel like I should be doing it when the previous tenant was the one who, you know, did the damage. But I'm like, I want to receive my retail space clean so I can move in. But the mall really needs, like, they need things like plumbing, you know, and just some updating. When you go to Washington Square Mall, all the store signs are in lights and they're beautiful, you know, and it's like, I would love to see that in this mall, where you have businesses owned by people of color and the presentation of the storefront is just top notch. And then when you walk in, you know, you have a really clean, wonderful space. But I just think they, you know, need to put some money back into it and bring a lot more local business and entertainment into the mall, and food. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the last time you've been in Lloyd Center was. I was there a couple months ago, I know they had like a fire as well, but, you know, I was at the food court and there was really like four mm-hmm. things open. It was, you know, it was wild. Similarly though, you know, now that they've announced, you know, Renaissance Group as sort of the new ownership, what questions would you have for this new ownership going forward in terms of, you know, their plan?
My questions really would be based around the commercial leasing for the mall. I'm like, are you going to make the leasing fair for everyone? Because I'm going to be honest, I didn't feel like my lease rate was fair. I would talk to other store owners and their rates would be much lower than mine. You have to consider, you know, what that overhead is for the business. A mall is open 7 days a week. And when you're talking about small businesses, there's got to be some give and take for that. And then also maybe help build in more partnerships with, you know, creating spaces where multiple owners can come into a space and help cut their costs down. You know, like, let's be really creative about this and making sure that the businesses reflect the community. A lot of times, you know, that just never happens. It's like whoever can fill out that lease agreement and passes, you know, the highest bar. Like, I've been in malls where when you lease a space, they'll come in and fix your toilet. And then I've been in a mall where there's like, you lease a space and everything past your front door is all your responsibility, no matter what breaks. If the air conditioning breaks, the sink gets plugged up or whatever, but it has to be reasonable for the person who's running the business because they can't afford, you know, a large overhead if something goes wrong. So I would like to see the mall really improve their infrastructure inside the mall and then make sure they include the community when they're thinking about building things out and maybe making smaller retail spaces that are more affordable, but also look very beautiful, you know. So just some great combinations, because there's so many great examples of what communities look like on the streets in the Alberta areas, Mississippi, things like that. People are clamoring over those neighborhoods, but why is the mall empty? Because they're still very commercial and not very local. And so I would really like to see them focus on local small businesses and helping them grow.
Yeah, yeah. That's about what I have for questions. But is there anything else you'd like to add either about Lloyd Center or, you know, again, thoughts for new management or anything else?
Yeah, do some outreach. Like, really, don't just say we want to know your ideas, but show up and actually talk to people and show up and bring in retailers and things like that from our cities and make sure they are people of color and they represent the community and, you know, have some real engagement. That's hardly, you know, you hardly ever have real exchange or real engagement. Like, does anybody even know who manages the Lloyd Center right now? Because there's no engagement and people really don't even know there's like, there's a children's clinic in the Lloyd Center. Who knows that? You know, there's a lot of amazing things that mall actually holds that we don't have any idea about in the community unless you use the service. And so the Lloyd Center does have really great services, but I just don't always see them advertised. And I didn't know they were there until I was actually in the mall.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bobby Stewart, thank you again for taking the time this afternoon and yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. It was a pleasure meeting you.
The Bruce Poinsett Show will be back after this quick ad break. BrucePoinsett.com is your one-stop shop for everything Bruce Poinsett. You have my services such as freelance writing and editing, creative nonfiction courses, as well as customized writing classes, event facilitation, and digital content creation. Again, go to BrucePoinsett.com for a quote, and make sure to sign up for our newsletter so you don't miss any news or updates.
Start off, could you just, you know, state your name and, you know, yeah, what business you own in Lloyd Center?
What's up? This is Troy Douglas, owner of Cultural Blends, the bright spot in the corner here at Lloyd Center.
So, just to start off, can you just talk about what Lloyd Center means to you?
Lloyd Center to me is like a childhood landmark. Obviously, growing up out in the suburbs, coming to Lloyd Center was a really big deal because this was the coolest mall. So I have a ton of childhood memories of just, you know, even my parents dropping me off here at some points and, you know, just all the landmarks that were inside here, from the movie theater to Tilt to the McDonald's in the corner. Just like, I mean, there is, you know, it's a place where it's like, it reminds me of good times, right? Lloyd Center is a place to connect with old folks, people that you may have known in the past, things of that nature. It's a place that every person that has grown up here has good memories with, because it was just that place for whatever reason. With ice skating rink, Joe Brown's caramel corn. We got candy before we went ice skating as kids. Honey baked ham was right over there. You know, right, there used to be like a honey baked restaurant. Like, it's just memories. It's good memories. That's what it is. It's Portland landmark. It's an icon. That's what it is.
Yeah. So when did you become a tenant and how has the mall changed since then?
So an official tenant was February 23rd, 2018. I remember that because it was Black Friday, the day that we opened up. We opened, I was subleasing in a spot in like 2014 and 2015 downstairs. So I had, you know, before our actual before we officially became a tenant, there was a space downstairs where I rented a small section of a store from a tenant back in 2014 and 15. So I've had a good view of the change of Lloyd Center. And even back then in 2014 and 2015, Nordstrom was still around, but there was talks of them closing. They eventually did close, I think, in 2015 or 2016. So I've seen where the Chic is right over here used to be a Disney store, and then also Eddie Bauer. And some of our store fixtures inside that store came from the Eddie Bauer right over here. And I've seen it change quite a bit because Chic used to be downstairs. I've seen quite a bit in the last, what is that now? Since 2014, that's 8 years. So I've seen quite a bit.
And you're bringing me back. I had forgotten about the Disney store.
The Disney store. Yeah, that's right. Disney store and then Eddie Bauer. And I wheeled that Eddie Bauer all the way over here and then down the stairs where that original store was downstairs. And then, some of those pictures came back up and move their way back into cultural blend. So it's, it's funny how that goes.
And so, offline, we were kind of talking a little bit about, Free Shot Friday and just the vibe there. But can you just talk about the community you've built since becoming a tenant at Lloyd Center?
Yeah. It wasn't always easy because, we were new, we were new inside the mall. So a lot of people, and we were still finding our identity too, right? As a store, it just started off as a headquarter for my clothing brand. And then it kind of evolved into a buy sell trade, right? And so that evolutionary process didn't happen overnight. It kind of happened by, being there present in the shop every day and just seeing what was, who was interested in the shop, who was walking in, who wasn't walking in, but who was looking in. So you were just, we were gathering a bunch of metrics and, just being there. And when I say we, it was just me. It was just me at that time. And it just took being there every day to build the community. And I think one of our advantages is really having genuine interactions with people. Getting to know people, getting to know their name, like, hey, Bruce, remembering what they do, asking them what they do or how their day is going and really connecting, right? That's the piece that I would say from my observation in the buy-sell trade world, that's the piece that is missing, right? It's very transactional. Buy low, sell for high, and don't give a fuck about the person in between. And that's not where I come from. Where I come from is treat the customer right, know who this person is, don't give your soul, but share your soul. I share my story. I want to know about you. And then that's the human connection, right? Cultural Blends was about bringing people together. So that's where, we come from. So I've brought that into this buy, sell, trade with vintage and sneakers. And if we have any success, it's mostly because of that, because it's not like we came out the gate with the best shoes. We came out with a lot of pre-owned shoes because people were consigning, and that's all we could afford was to consign stuff, and it was lower end stuff. And I think even to just people that have seen the shop grow and its evolution, that's inspiring. And when you can inspire somebody, you're sharing that light, and when you do that, that's how you build people, that's that community, because they want to be a part of that, and they want to they want to align themselves with shit, I've watched this person go from next to nothing to something better. I can do that in myself. So in doing that, that's also building community besides, your genuine connections. But most of it's just being present every day and treating people right. You do that, you're going to grow, right?
Obviously, the conversation about what is needed to revitalize the mall is a big topic right now. I remember being just back in there in December. Okay. I was up at the food court, right? And again, kind of similar to you, I have memories back of when the Tilt was up there, back when I have babysitters who would take me to back when it was a Panda Express up there, which is decades ago. And So to see it, you know, with all these, with like three, you know, restaurants open was kind of like wild to me. But on the flip side, I guess, you know, there's that opportunity, right, for like, so what's next? So with that in mind, what changes would you like to see to revitalize the mall?
I would say in the short term, I would like to see more locally owned businesses, you know, and it'd be really nice to build some businesses of color. I know a gentleman down on this end of the mall, he opened up, or he is in the process of opening up like his screen printing shop inside the mall, black owned business. He just came in and introduced himself yesterday. So it would be really nice to see some operators, and it doesn't matter who they are, but it'd be nice to see some brave operators, small businesses come in and take up some of these empty spaces. Because that's how we got in. We got in under that Lloyd Local program, and that's how they were spinning it. But I do believe that, you know, what Lloyd needs a lot is a narrative change, you know, exactly what you're doing, right? Just changing the narrative, because there's a lot of talks about when's the mall closing. That's all we get people asking that. Like, the mall's still closing, right? I'm like, nah, it's not. You know, and, you know, with all that talk of foreclosure, if there were, you know, 4 to 6 locally owned stores that were in here and shit, like stores of color, that would be quite a bit. Like, that would apply pressure to not only, you know, maybe the press, to the local press, to write about it and write about, you know, a new narrative of locally owned businesses save Lloyd Center or something of that nature. But I would like to see that in the long term. That's a really difficult one. I'm not sure. I can only see the short term, next 2 years, what it looks like long term. I don't know, but I know that retail isn't dead here. Our shop has only grown, so I don't know. It's hard to say for me.
Yeah. So speaking of, you know, that news around officially that it's not, you know, the mall is not closing, you know, there's a big release about, hey, there's new ownership. So to that end, what questions do you have for the new ownership group?
My question, I guess, for them is just, what does the short-term plan look like? And, you know, what are the options as far as growth, like in the next even 5 to 10 years? What is it? What are the possible, like, you know, avenues that could happen? Because, you know, they're not in a position where they tell us these type of things, right? It just doesn't make sense unless retail was a big part of the plan. So I would just like some clarity, any more clarity. And I don't need to know like what exactly is happening long-term. If they're unclear about that, that's fine. I get it. We're still in a pandemic, you know, bringing in the big venues like Live Nation and stuff. It makes no sense, right? I understand it from a business end. Like, you know, why would you dump this money into, you know, potentially like a hazardous climate, right? That doesn't make any sense. But I would like to know what's the plan for the fucking revitalization in the next couple of years, because security and beefing up security isn't necessarily it's a part of it, but what is the offensive growth, not the defensive growth? And I would just like to know that, because that would be a good step.
All right. Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share, whether it be the ownership or for, you know, the many people who still come through Lloyd Center, still, you know, still shop, still, you know, partake in the space?
Lloyd Center has always kind of been like a communal place. So it'd be really nice to see some true people of the community open up stores here. The vibe has changed significantly at Lloyd Center, and for the better. There's less stores, but in 2019, the vibe was different. It was darker. People had like a, I'll tell you exactly why. there was still Lloyd Center management, right? Lloyd Center in itself, and also the customer base, we were still holding on to the idea of what Lloyd Center was, right? And so seeing it starting to really crumble, that was like, that was tough. And from when that was happening, a lot of the looters and like, you know, thieves, like petty thieves, they were really coming around and really trying, you know, the stores, right? Even like the small stores like us, you know, we had to be on the lookout, but the mall has changed. It's it has like a lot brighter energy, you know, it has a lot more like life to it, even though that stores have closed down. We've with the pandemic and stuff, we've become past the notion of Lloyd Center from the past, right? And it's just like, we just want to know what's going to happen in the future. And that's it. The vibe is like, okay, Lloyd Center is not going to be what it is, but at least I'm here. At least it's here, right? In 2019, it was just like, what the fuck is going on? And people were on edge. When I walked into our into Lloyd Center thinking about opening up a shop, like I was just watching how people would interact with each other, and people were a little bit more frigid and more tight. But I don't know, man. I can just sense it in the people. You know, I've got a good floater in the lane. I got good feel for things of this nature, and people are just they're more willing to I don't know, more willing to communicate with each other and stuff. And I'm not sure if that's driven by the pandemic, but you know, downtown isn't what it used to be. So inside Lloyd Center, like, looks just fine. You know, if you want to make a comparison, like, you go downtown, it looks not very good. You go inside Lloyd Center, it's like, yeah, there's some, you know, closed stores, but it's manageable. You know, I don't know. But yeah, that's just the truth.
Yeah, Troy, thank you again for taking the time. And yeah, you know, all the best and continued success.
This has been the Bruce Poinsett Show. Make sure to catch us every second and fourth Wednesday at 7 p.m. on The Numbers FM, as well as on youtube.com/Bruce Poinsett. And for exclusive clips, go to patreon.com/Bruce Poinsett and become a member. In the meantime, hey, black people, trust me, it won't hurt. See you next week.